This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. For millions of Puerto Ricans, including on the mainland, it's been a harrowing week.
I have not been able to contact anyone. I try to call every hour and see if anything's changed.
What really gives you peace is knowing that your family in the island is okay, and not having that anymore, that I'm here and I know they're not okay. It's hard to find a sense of purpose.
A week after Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico, most of the island's 3.4 million residents are still without power and running water. Large parts of the island are remote, and even in San Juan, cell phone service is sparse, and that means a near communications blackout for the approximately 5.5 million Puerto Ricans living on the U.S. mainland. Here in New York, there are roughly 700,000 Puerto Ricans. That's the largest population on the entire mainland. Here's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio speaking on Tuesday.
Baby food, diapers, batteries, first aid supplies, and feminine hygiene products. Those are the five things we need. They can be dropped off at any of the 18 locations, FDNY locations.
That call and others like it have spurred action here in New York. Many people are doing what they can, but doing it at a time when contact with friends and loved ones can be nearly impossible. We invited two natives of Puerto Rico to tell us how they've been coping here in New York while their family and friends are back home. Their names are Rod Ruiz Leon, a dancer and spoken word artist from Ponce in the south of Puerto Rico, and Nicole Acevedo, a student at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism from San Juan. Here's Nicole.
I got a call like two nights ago from my mom from Florida. So they have been really desperate because since Irma hit, they have been without power and without water because in Puerto Rico, the water access works with electricity. So that affected them. So she went to the airport. She had bought tickets to leave Puerto Rico because of what happened with Irma. So they were told, you know, if you have a reservation, just come by and we'll try to accommodate you. Well, the scene that she found there was that everybody was stranded and she spent three nights in the airport and they didn't give her any water or any food or, you know, the airport is like a sauna when there's no AC there. So, you know, when I heard her when she got to Florida, her voice just sounded, she just sounds drained. She sounds worn out. My mom is a person with a lot of spirit, and hearing her so broken was just really nerve-wracking. But after all, I'm just really glad that they were able to get out of there. So from that end, you know, it's the reports that you saw, my mom was like, it's that, but like kind of worse. So
kind of worse. Why? What did she say?
Because it was at the beginning, she said it was less people. And then she was there 3 days. Yeah, on the third day, it was just like a sea of people. She said it was just like hundreds and hundreds of people, and people kept coming. And she even helped a 94-year-old, you know, get in contact with her family because her cell phone had some service. There were some pockets within the airport where she had service. And, you know, that 94-year-old woman in these conditions with no water, no food, no, you know, that she wasn't the only one. She was just one of many.
Did water and food arrive eventually?
She said that United, she was in a Delta line, that United were the ones giving people like water and food. So not necessarily, at least not when she was there, you know, from the government or from this aid that they're saying it's coming. It was just the airline just kind of trying to be a decent, you know, treating people like in a humane way in these conditions.
Ra, you've been trying to contact your family on the island. How's that been going?
I have not been able to contact anyone. What did happen was that my uncle in Ponce was able to contact my aunt a few days ago. He called and he was only able to speak with her for about 2 minutes. And what I hear is that he had to go to a different town. He found a place where he could make a phone call, but they were charging him $3 a minute. So all that he was able to tell us was that, listen, you know, grandma's house, is the roof is off the house. I had to take her to a different place. Could you please send us food, water, and things like that that we can use, like flashlights, candles. And then the call got cut off. And so that's as much connection as we've had.
Asking for food, water, flashlights, and candles from New York. You're supposed to ship water, he asks,
right,
from New York City. That's astounding.
Yeah, so my partner and I, as Yanix Barrera, who's here in the studio with me, we're organizing a donation drive for Sunday, October 1st, from 10 to 1 at Flamenco Vivo Studios, which is at 4 West 43rd Street. And we're just trying to get folks to come in and donate so that we can send these things to our family and friends, because I know that it's not just my family, it's also our neighbors and our friends there in Ponce, Lares, Guayama. Because I'm from the South, I know that we're going to be sending stuff out to the South of Puerto Rico to help out our family and friends there.
So you're only able to get this tiny bit of news because one relative talked to another relative 2 minutes. You must have other family and friends around New York, and maybe there's like a phone tree situation, or you hear things from other people who talk to somebody else, I'm sure.
It's really an interesting situation, because that's all that's happening. It's a lot of like, I heard from this person, I heard from this person, this first person was able to like send me an email, or, you know, because the connection is so random and people are going to different places to get connection. A friend of ours just told us that her aunt was found dead in her home because she was a sick woman, and because there was no connection, she was not able to let anyone know that she was not feeling well, that she needed to go to the doctor. And her kids who live here in the States sent the National Guard, said, could you please check up on our mom? We haven't heard, you know, we're trying to get there. And when they went there, they found her. So, you know, I heard this from a friend. So it's a lot of these stories are coming up, and I know that we're probably going to be hearing a lot of stories like that.
Nicole, your parents are on the mainland. They're in Florida, as you said.
Right.
That's a relief, but you must know a lot of other people who are on the island. What's it been like trying to get in touch?
It's basically like an agonizing wait, because you can't necessarily, you know, I've been one of the few lucky ones that have been able to get in contact with some people, or at least like get in contact with people that know of my family and my friends. And, you know, you're just drilled to your phone waiting for them to call you, because when I call, it just sounds disconnected or you know, the boop, boop, boop. That sounds terrible already in my head. So what I know is that, you know, from my friends from high school, for example, we have a WhatsApp message, and they were able to send voice messages last night, and just hearing their voices. You know, one of them is telling me that the house, her doors were blasted open and her windows, and there was a point in the storm that she was just like feeling it and hearing it, and you can't do anything until it just goes away. And then on top of that, dealing with the huge lines, a friend of mine was like, I wake up at 5 a.m. because the sunrise just wakes me up. And I go to the gas stations, and I spend 5 hours at the gas station just getting some diesel for our cars and for generators for other people. And then I have to stand in another line that's like 3 hours just to get food. So, you know, it's just this day in and day out, and they can't tell them, you know, this is going to end this day, that at least you have something to look forward to. But right now it's just, you know, it's going to take 6 months, or it's going to take, you know, there's no certainty. You know, when you were talking about sending help to your friends, my grandma, I managed to speak with her, and she's like, we need batteries, D batteries. And the postal service is down. So, you know, it's like, and you know, other countries want to help Puerto Rico, but they're, because of some laws that restrict, you know, different boats from different countries to go to Puerto Rico, they have to ask the U.S. first. And that's another burden that just delays Puerto Rico getting aid. And, you know, the fact that 5 days later we got FEMA money, and just 2 weeks after, actually, you know, the president is going to go there. It's just, it's too slow. And you are here stuck in the mainland, and you feel like, Jesus, like, what can I do? Like, it's just, it just gets more complicated, and people there can't do anything. And I feel this sense of responsibility, and it's just like challenged every single time I try to do something.
Ra, this feeling of sort of an open-ended crisis when you don't know when it's going to end and you can't get in touch with your family, I can see why you're holding this drive for supplies. Not only do people need the supplies, but you probably feel like you have to do something. You can't just sit at home and tap away on your phone trying to get in touch.
No, actually, last week, my partner and I were at home and we were in tears and we were thinking, this, we just don't feel right. Like, we don't feel right that our family and friends are going through this and we're here and we're okay and we have food and we have shelter and we have dry clothes. And it's this constant anxiety and frustration, like you were saying, Nicole. And so I think that for me, part of also the anxiety that I feel is also knowing the work that is about to, that we're going to have to do.
This is
not something that's going to end next week, that it's not just about getting the phone lines back up, that it's a whole set of things that needs, it's a whole process. And I think that makes me really sad. I'm someone who really loves my island and I love my people and I'm very proud Boricua. And so I feel all this anguish because I know that we're going to have to, even before the hurricanes, we were already struggling. So to add on to that, I know that there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And the donation drive that we're having, I know that's, it's not just going to be that. It's going to be one of many because there's more that needs to be done.
And rebuilding could take years here. I know how daunting that sounds, and it must feel even more daunting. Did you ever have plans that maybe in a year or two, in a little while, you might go back to the island? And does that even seem possible now?
Well, my partner and I, we went last summer. I try to go every year to see my family. I live here permanently. And part of the reason is because when I finished college here, I went to the new school. I knew I couldn't go home to find work, right? So this is also an issue that we've had. You know, a lot of my cousins went to Layupi in San Juan. They went to the university there, but they couldn't find decent work, so they had to either move here to the States or settle for working at a pharmacy or at a burger joint. And so I always thought it would be nice to go home, but you know, as an artist, as someone who has all these goals, I'm not going to be able to do that there. And so to now see all of this and know that now it's even harder, especially for young people who are trying to finish school and they don't want to leave home. They want to stay on the island. They want to stay with their people. And it's just, it's like you said, it's daunting and it's frustrating.
You know, not only that, because I'm experiencing the same thing that you're describing. You know, I'm here and you know, becoming a journalist. I've been a freelance journalist aside from grad school. And then, you know, it already felt hard. And Puerto Ricans are, you know, of all people, I think they're the most connected to their homeland. I really think that. And, you know, even on Wednesday when I was looking at, like, the, you know, TV news because I just wanted to know because I couldn't get in touch with people, there was times that I would see, like, reporters doing their live hits in these places where I grew up in. And you know, not I was not even rationalizing what the reporters were talking about. I was just looking the scene, and I'm like, this looks completely, like, unrecognizable. Like, this just looks destroyed. It just looks, and it was just... You know, even my boyfriend, too, he was like, oh, maybe you should visit your family in Thanksgiving or in Christmas. And I'm here like, we don't even know what's going to happen next week. How are you going to, you're looking forward to that. And I started crying, too. Like, you know, same thing. So even just that, you know, seeing that all the memories that you had, all this life that you always go back to when you are homesick and when you need, you know, to rebuild and gain energy again to go back and do better here, it's just gone. And you know, you're here in the mainland, and what really gives you peace is knowing that your family in the island, it's okay, and not having that anymore, that I'm here and I know they're not okay. It's hard to find a sense of purpose in that sense.
It's a difficult time, and I want you both to know how much we appreciate you coming in to talk to us so that people can hear about your experience and what you're going through with your families and your friends in Puerto Rico. So thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Nicole Acevedo and Roger Luis León, thank you for
being here.
Thank you
again.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm Ira Flato, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.